Today, I'm talking with Pushkar Anand, the author of Manifest Your Infinite Riches. I get asked to review many books, and I can honestly say that there are few that I've enjoyed reading as much as this book. It spoke to me on so many levels. Now, this is not the kind of book that takes you into waving crystals and hoping money rains from the sky. Pushkar goes into the mechanics of real abundance, the kind that starts with how you think, how you act, and how you show up in your own life. So if you're stuck in survival mode and if you're constantly telling yourself that there's never enough money, never enough time, never enough energy, then this conversation is for you. Pushkar breaks down the mindset shifts and daily actions that can literally flip the script on scarcity and open you up to a richer and more fulfilling life. Regardless of your upbringing and regardless of your belief systems, there's something in this book that will speak to everyone. Pushkar, let's be honest. Many people listening right now don't feel abundant. They feel overwhelmed and they feel stuck and they feel broke. What is the biggest lie people believe about money and how abundance, you know, how abundance is keeping them where they are or their lack thereof?
The biggest lie, Nikki, across the world, and this is not a country-specific thing, is that the vast majority of human beings have been conditioned so deeply over the decades that we feel inherently to have the amount of money we want is a difficult thing.
Yeah.
That is the crux of the problem. Now, think about it. If that's how we feel at a level deep inside of us, then how will we ever be abundant in a physical form or in a manifestation form? You see, what is in there is what comes out there.
Absolutely.
And that mindset or that deep belief or taking it to the next level, that pattern in the subconscious, which is deep inside us, has got to change. Now, that is a simple concept, but it's not an easy concept because we got to undo years or decades of work.
Yeah. And I think we've got to realize that we've got a pattern there in the first place, that we're telling ourselves a story that isn't serving us. And to acknowledge that is quite tricky.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Because, see, these are there. Now, we don't know they're there. And that's why it's the subconscious. We might think this is how things are. Well, but that's the conscious, right? So there's a clear demarcation there. And just studying the mind and how it works itself is a fundamental part of the conversation here. But unless what is deep in here doesn't change, yeah, it's often said, as within, so without, as above, so below. Yeah? The work has to be in there. And depending on what's in there, comes out there. Not the world economy. That doesn't determine it.
Yeah, and I think you went into it in your book at some point, but it just seems to be there are some people who are abundant in everything, no matter what they do, no matter what their circumstances. And there are other people that no matter how hard they seem to try, they just can't get it right. And that starts with them. It's not actually circumstantial.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And we create those circumstances. Now, somebody could argue and say, no, you know, what you're saying is absolute rubbish. Mm. What about people who are born in super wealthy family? And what about people who are born in poverty?
Sure.
My answer to that is, if we look around across the world, there'll be enough cases of super wealthy families or people within those families who went bankrupt.
Yeah.
They lost hundreds of millions or tens of millions of billions.
Yes.
And if you look around at some of the greatest success stories, whether it's CEOs of firms or it's businesses that have been built, the people were born in extremely humble backgrounds.
Yeah.
But doesn't that explain that it's not linked to where we are born? Yeah. Or the country we're in, the family we're in. You know, let's turn it in its head further and say that this is such a big point, Nikki, that, you know, 50% of the world's population owns 1% of global wealth. And 1% of the world's population owns 50% of global wealth. Now, if you have a conversation in everyday parlance with people or a drink, coffee, whatever, and say, you know, of course, that person's born in a rich country, that one's in a rich family, in a rich neighborhood, you know, that's why it is. No, that's got nothing to do with it. Because if that is what it were, then everybody in a rich family would be wealthy. Everybody in a rich country would be wealthy. Everybody in a poor neighborhood would be poor. But it never works like that, because that has got nothing to do with it. It's the vibrational frequency within you, with money often, or with other kinds of riches, which determine where you end up.
Yes, exactly. So what were your life experiences that shaped this book and shaped what you do today?
Well, it's a long 15-year journey. You know, so I went to Cambridge. I went to London School of Economics, very traditional Korean banking across the world. I used to travel a lot to Joburg as well. Sandton in particular used to be the neighborhood. Yeah,
Yes.
but yeah. And then as things started to evolve, when we had the financial crisis 2008, one of the things through my circumstances that made me look up and think is that these are the world's biggest institutions, which look so fragile today. You know,
Yeah.
and I was going off to Cambridge at that point of time to study with a big loan. I said, what is the meaning of life? You know, these institutions get destroyed tomorrow. That means they're so temporary, and we keep chasing money and material things in our life. Well, is that all there is to life? You know, and what is that foolproof formula for success? So that's what I started out with. And then over a series of often fortunate, sometimes less fortunate events, we ended up with COVID.
Yeah.
And I'd got through some 12, 13 years by then, lots of books, 500 plus, you know, where I went, worked with people like Jack Canfield, extremely well-respected names who, you know, done this for decades. And
Yeah.
eventually I got to a point where as we got to COVID, my whole purpose of rather than finding that foolproof formula for success became what is my purpose in life
Yeah.
and why can't I help others find their purpose? Think about it, Nikki. If everyone in the world were living their purpose of what's called dharma, the whole vibration of the planet would go up substantially more. And all that I learned over the years, you know, I condensed into it started with my notes and a manual. And then I said, well, let's make it into a book.
Yeah.
It took me 15 years, as I say, to manifest my infinite riches. Why should it take others that long? Why can't they do it in 15 months or less? And
Yes.
that manual got, you know, edited and cleaned up and metamorphosed and transformed into a book, which is Manifesto Infinite Riches, Master the Art of Living an Abundant Life.
Yes. And to exactly what you've said, you've got a particular chapter on defining your primary mission and turning that into your primary vision, and that's what you did. And for many people, this is a question that always plagues me. You know, there are so many people out there that have mundane jobs that they don't like. They might be working in a bank, in a call center, in retail, and it's not their mission. It doesn't drive them. It doesn't give them a reason to get up in the morning. They just simply have to go and do it to pay the bills. How do people in positions like that find their mission and transform that into a vision? Because it doesn't always have to be your vocation. It can be. It's lovely if it is. If you, I mean, I'm fortunate, you're fortunate enough to do what we love to do every day. But not everyone is fortunate enough to do that. So how do we start finding those glimmers?
And that's a very, very good question and a hugely deep question, which comes up often. And my answer there is that we're not talking about switching on or switching off a switch.
Yeah.
That's stop doing what you're doing today and start living your mission tomorrow. We're not saying that. It's what you said at the start. We're not talking about, you know, money raining or, you know, waving crystals. No. We're not going there. What we're saying is, this is where your life is today. Right, the job X you do, this is how you live, these are your financials, this is the love for the job, etc. Fine. Where do you want to be?
Yeah.
The problem is that most people don't know where they want to be. Right? So we first decide where we want to be or who we want to become.
Yeah.
Right? Now I start the book literally with these words. Yes, you're infinitely rich. You're infinitely rich because you are you. We take you back to, we can get to that later, some powerful points there, but we need to figure out who it is we want to be and how we want a life to be. Once that is sorted out, Nikki, trust me, half the problem is gone because we've written down clearly who we want to become. Then starts the interesting part and the big learning for everyone, including you, me, and our listeners, is that you start a transformational journey. You start the metamorphosis. It doesn't happen overnight. You see, the old you comes down and the new you starts to come up. That could take weeks, months, or years. In my
It
case, it
could.
took almost 15. You know, hopefully others can do it in a year. So this change starts to come on a daily, weekly basis. And one step leads to another, to the third, to the fourth. And eventually the old you starts withering away and the new you starts coming up. But the key word here is it's a transformational, metamorphical process. It is not an overnight change. And if anyone's expecting that, expectations need to be corrected.
Yeah, and I think that is the problem with the manifestation mindset. People hear a lot about manifestation and they think it's something they're going to just visualize and wake up with tomorrow, and it doesn't work like that. And other people hear manifestation, they roll their eyes. So how do you separate real actionable manifestation from the fluff?
I think with the media and lots of books over the years across the world, some are great books, some are a bit airy-fairy. The whole concept has become a little bit of a, well, I think it's taken a wrong connotation often. We're not talking about, when you talk about the concept of manifestation, it's not that you roll a wand and the ideal man or woman pops into your life or $1 million come into your life. That is not the airy fairy wiffle waffle stuff we're talking about. We're talking about creating a life that you really want. We're talking about you're becoming the person you really want. And what is the, how would you define that? Those are physical experiences you bring into your life. And what is manifestation? Manifestation is the physical expression of the invisible. That's all. So all we're saying is we're out here to help you create that perfect life, bring out those infinite riches which are inside of you, could be financial or otherwise. And therefore, the word, the phrase, manifest your infinite riches.
So as I was going through your book, I was doing the exercises, and there was one that really was a quite it was an aha moment for me. I think it was exercise number three, and it said, assuming you have freedom of time and all the money you want, write a brief description of your ideal life. And I started making the list. And when I'd finished the list, I realized I am living my ideal life. I just want more of it. And that was such a, it was like, wow, we actually are doing this. We're becoming the people, if you're conscious and if you are in this industry, but I suppose if you're conscious of it and if you're in this state of understanding that it's all actually up to us as individuals, you will do things that are leading you into this world that you are wanting to manifest. You just possibly don't even realize it. And when you can write it down and do it in an exercise form, you realize, well, how do we enhance it? How do we make more of what we already have? And I think acknowledging what we already have and looking at what's working and just sensing, having a sense of gratitude for that is a really, really good starting point for a lot of us.
No, it absolutely is, Nikki. Absolutely. And the exercise you talk about, the third bit there, where we're saying that if money is not the reason to work, what is it that you'd really like to do? That's part of a wider exercise, but that really takes you back towards your purpose. You know, it is say that you're locked up at home, and what would you love to do when there's no need to do it? What would you want to do? That's the need versus want paradigm there. Right? What would you want to do when you don't need to do anything? That takes you back into that direction. And gratitude, you touched upon, is a great point because when you put yourself in the vibrational frequency of gratitude, more of the good stuff multiplies. Yeah, and
It really does.
absolutely, in whichever shape, size, or form it is. So these are pretty powerful, phenomenal concepts which are great to talk about and theorize, but unless we don't put them into practice on a regular basis, it's not going to do much in terms of the transformational process.
How much of what we model from our parents do we take forward regarding abundance?
Well, a significant amount, right? So the subconscious is hugely amenable to new ideas from until the age of about 7 or 8. Because if you observe children, and all of us who are parents who've had kids or seen kids closely, they're very open. It's a clean slate. It's a blue sky in their mind until about that age. Then they start getting logical. You know, all right, okay, tell a 4-year-old, I want you to fly tomorrow. I'd love to fly. You know, I'm ready. Let's go. Tell a 9-year-old, dad's lost his bloody marbles. Mum's nuts. You know, how can I fly? You see, what we've done is we've taken away that freedom that the child was born with. And who's done it? Us, adults. So that conditioning then stays through your teens and beyond. And what we're trying to do now is replace that conditioning with a positive reconditioning. And parents and family are never negative. They love us the most in the world. But they give us their beliefs of lack and limitation, which they've taken back for generations. You know, so that's why if you've had wealth in the family, it's easier for a parent to leave that wealth mindset with the next generation. But that does not mean the next generation is absolutely accepted. That's why the point we're discussing earlier, everyone in a wealthy family doesn't grow the wealth, right? The poverty comes out of wealthy families also. But it's easier for the parent to pass it down because they've had it a generation or two.
Yeah. How do we break that generational curse if the belief systems aren't working for us?
Yeah.
What is the first step?
Well, we have to acknowledge and understand that what we believe is not the absolute truth. We need to look and search, you know, whether it's this book here or our conversation or other similar work that's been done. Because anyone who's genuinely done this kind of work as an author or a podcaster or, you know, as a speaker or whatever, will reinforce the same point in different ways. You got to really, I went through more than 500 books over a 15-year period. You got to open up your mind and get into it. And you know, some of the best ones are lying at the back. For the rest, I don't have space. But get into it and read it and study it and understand. Yes. But these are not novels you're reading. These are manuals and workbooks and textbooks to be with you the rest of your life. Because you've got to keep going back to this. One of the persons, you know, one of my teachers, I learned a lot from the legendary Bob Proctor. You know, he used to read Think and Grow Rich every day for 150 years of his life. We've got to read the same thing again and again because the subconscious needs repetition. All of those.
I'm so glad you said that. glad you said it because I read books like this over and over again because. And every time something magical comes from them, no matter how many times you read them.
No, I'm so glad you say that, Nikki, because, you know, I'm sure our listeners would like, often the people who come and say, you know, I've read this book and great, I've understood everything, but nothing is changing. So, of course, it's not going to change. The patterns in there took countless repetitions from parents and family and near and dear ones over years. So why do you think you read a book once and it'll change? I mean, it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that. I suppose that's why people, you know, when you're looking at people who read the Bible multiple times, because you've got to meditate on the themes and on the stories and on the lessons before they become integrated.
Absolutely, I fully agree. I mean, the books I read, you know, there's a handful of books I have which I keep going back to literally every day, every other day, and each time it reinforces something new. Now, another reason for that is that the vast news that we are fed every day is not positive. It's negative. So we are around a bubble of negativity. We need to go into those positive oases, so to say, to have that corrected. If all the news we were fed every day were positive, then life would have been different. But that's not how it is across the world.
No. And, you know, it's impossible to isolate yourself from the news because we have to be aware of what's going on around
us.
But I think it's, you know, we've also got to curate the amount and intensity and where it comes from, because it really does affect us on an emotional and spiritual and psychological scale that I don't think people really realize the damage it does being, you know, inundated with negative messaging all day, every day, and what that does to your psyche.
Absolutely. I entirely agree. And one view is just stop reading the news or watching the news, but it's easier said than done. You know, you can't just pack up and disappear. So
so someone listening right now, if they're in debt or they're feeling that they've got nowhere out of their situation, they hate their job, they're feeling stuck, what is the very first thing you would suggest they can do today to start shifting into a more abundant mindset?
Well, just give yourself 2-3 minutes 3-4 times a day. Don't focus on where you are. Focus on where you want to be, who you want to become. Focus on that, delve into that, dwell on it, and think of that as the reality in your life today. That's what starts the process of the vibrational shift, and then you've got to keep taking action. You'll get intuitive hunches and nudges about taking action. Take it. And that will keep taking you away from where you are to where you want to get to.
Yeah, and I think that is, you've got to learn to tune into that frequency, that it is a frequency, and when you start listening to it, it does become more obvious and louder, but you've got to teach yourself to be aware, I guess.
Absolutely. It is an unlearning process. I think I have the book here as well, and I'm just thinking, I think it's part 1, chapter 4.
Yeah.
Unlearn what you've learned. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, can you share a story of someone who you know or who has what you've worked with that has surprised you with how they've applied your model and your teaching? Something that made you even rethink your own ideas?
No, absolutely. Well, I've not been surprised in the sense I've expected it. I expect people to transform, so it's been in a in alignment with my expectation. And it's my publisher who's see. I wanted to work outside of India, where we work with perhaps the
Yes.
largest publisher there. I wanted to work with a growing smaller publisher where I had freedom to do things in a certain way, which sometimes get restricted with a large
Yeah.
publisher. So I did find my way, which is all hugely spiritual, actually, how aligned to the particular publisher I'm talking about. It's called Rowan Vale Books, and I got along exceedingly well with the promoter. Kat Charlton's her name, and my book and my work got so intertwined with her vision of where she wanted to take her firm. And she's the biggest case study in my book after me myself, that how
Yes.
she transformed from what used to be a self-publishing, small publisher in the UK, to through the work we've done together, to one of the UK's largest, fastest growing hybrid publishers today. So I reached out to her in August 22. And I almost felt guided. I didn't know of her until I found her, as I felt I was guided. And she told me in hindsight, it was her son's third birthday, I think, the day I reached out of the blue. And I said, I have a great manuscript, and except the Indian subcontinent, we're talking global rights, but I want to do it with tremendous freedom. I'm not going to find that with a big publisher, but I'm not interested in self-publishing. I want to get through a thorough hybrid model. And found my way to her. We had the initial conversation, and she said, "You know, well, it's really strange you've gotten in touch with me this point in time, because we do self-publishing at a we've been growing, but I really have a feeling within me to become one of the UK's, if not the largest, hybrid publisher. But I had no idea how I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, you popped up and said this, and great, and you know, so how do we get on with it?" I said, "Well, don't worry about the how. That'll flow and follow. Let's work together, me with
Yeah.
my dream, you with yours." So she wrote out exactly along the lines we spoke, Nikki, of what she wanted Rowan Vale Books to become from where it is, right? What she wanted against her name in terms of her employee relations, her scale, her publishing business, the designers, just the whole works, and how many countries she
Yeah.
wanted to be present in, et cetera, et cetera. So we kept that vision there, and kept taking what I call ongoing guided action together. And this went to the next level and the next, and not without its hurdles, without its roadblocks. That's part of the process, has to be. And today, as this book is, has been a bestseller, you know, a few times, and we're in every continent, right? So her name is in the US, in the UK, in Western Europe, in Eastern Europe, in Central Europe. In Southeast Asia, we've got the Philippines, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, as we talk, seven other countries in Africa, in Latin America. We've taken it everywhere. And it hasn't that it's exactly, and she is today, you know, with where the amount of business she has knocking on her door, the number of authors who want to do things, is exponentially gone through the roof. You know, it's this whole hybrid model which is out there. And yeah, in my book, it's her book as well. Our book was the first from her that actually got into Waterstones in the UK. Waterstones is I think after Amazon, it's the big high street retailer. So, yeah, well, that's her journey in a nutshell. And she's enjoying this week part-time working with her kids. She's away. We're doing the first South African podcast.
Absolutely incredible. So, what is the center for infinite
Well, the
riches?
Center for Infinite Riches, it started out initially as an enterprise I wanted to use to promote the work we're doing, and it's metamorphosed further into what I'd call an educational digital platform. So the programs we have, Nikki, there's a flagship program is the Six Statutes of Money. Right? We have another one on living your purpose, finding a dharma, a total of five programs at this point in time, with more coming and being produced. And I think of it as the educational digital platform through which all of this comes. Yeah? And
Yeah.
hopefully it grows on to getting a few other people I know who are interested in also presenting some of their programs to this. That's not the my objective in what I do is to empower humanity, you know, and to help people become the person they're always meant to be. To uplift consciousness is where I'm. So I'm not here to get 100 authors and, you know, set up a firm doing that. But there's a platform and people I met who'd love to present their credentials through it also. So it's my educational digital platform, which is a, an extension of the work that we do.
Absolutely brilliant. Just before we wrap up, and this is for people listening who are completely convinced they have to go and get a copy of your book or get in touch with you. What are your top three daily habits that really help you and people you work with move towards creating an abundant life?
Well, I borrowed one from Steve Jobs, which was something called the reality distortion field.
I love that.
So Steve used to, you know, you're familiar with it, but for those who aren't, that he'd have a vision and people would tell him it can't be done, it's too difficult. He said, no. And as absolutely can be done. Tell me the reasons why it can't be done, and then we'll find a way to work around the reasons. But as far as I'm concerned, this is the vibration I'm already living at. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm already who I want to be. So that's one. The other bit is if all of us should have mentors in our lives who we can look up to and learn from. So if I'm ever having a bad day, I think of people I've learned from. The wonderful words Jack Canfield gave me, wrote for me, the wonderful things Blaine Bartlett, Grandmaster B Square, my teacher did. If I ever feel down and out, and I think, well, if Jack can write on my front cover, this is the book we've all been waiting for, and that's the man who's sold, you know, 500 million personal development books more than anyone else in the world, I said, it must be a bloody good book. And the third thing is I keep my discipline of the work that I have to do, because we can do all of the visualizations and imagination and affirmations we like. If we don't take that ongoing guided action, nothing is going to move. You know, we'll just sit there in the mental sphere. So the mental work is critical, but equally or more critical is taking physical ongoing guided action. Yeah, so those are three bits, I'd say, which I'm pretty ruthless about.
Good. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So where can our listeners find you, find your book, get hold of you, get in touch and learn more about what you do?
So we in South Africa, we all over exclusive bookstores. I think as we speak now, I don't know when we'll be relayed. We towards the end of August, I think we're just getting sorted on Take a Lot as well. So from what little I know, I think those are the two main channels there. The website is pushkaranandsworld.com. There's a lot of information there, lots of free content and some paid programs. And there is the handles, Pushkaran's World, again, Instagram, Twitter, it's Pushkar's World. Just find your way, either Google it, a lot of it should come up, and just pick up what you like and, you know, learn and grow and evolve and enjoy yourself most of all.
Well, I couldn't recommend your book more to anyone listening. And, you know, whatever that form abundance takes for you, this is a really, really useful, solid roadmap. And I don't say that lightly. I simply don't say, anyone who knows me knows I won't just throw that around. I thoroughly enjoyed reading your book and I highly recommend anyone listening goes out and gets themselves a copy. So Pushkar, thank you so much for taking your time to chat with me today. And I hope this goes far and wide and reaches people that it really needs to.
Well, I'm grateful. Thank you so much, Nikki, for your time, for the kind words. And I also sincerely hope that we're able to make the impact that we set out to make. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I truly believe that this conversation is exactly what many people need to hear right now. No sugarcoating, no magic formulas, just the truth about how you can take control of your mindset and your actions to create a life that actually feels abundant. If you're listening and you felt a spark during this episode, don't push that inspiration to the back of your mind. Do something with it. Start today. Go grab Pushkar's book, Manifest Your Infinite Riches. The link is in the show notes. And remember, nothing changes if you don't. And please don't forget to subscribe to the show and share this episode with anyone who you know that could do with a nudge.